Today, we'd like to see the title of one body in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 up to 31. To online worship people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. What do you mean, both by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit? Question 2, in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What does Paul want to explain? Last question in verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What does it mean? Every person has one body, and many members, such as head, eye, ear, nose, hand, finger, foot, toes, lung, or heart. Likewise, all members who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior through local communities to the end of the earth are the body of Christ, the whole universal church. Its head is Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And he, God, put all things under his feet and gave Christ to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. So now verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, everyone has one body and many members or many parts, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Christ too, that is, the body of Christ, is one universal church. Its head, the head of church, is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, all Christians born again with water and Spirit were baptized. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4, John the Baptist came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then verse 8, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptized you with water or repentance, water a sign or a symbol of repentance, but he, Jesus, will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus told to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, or he cannot be saved. So water and Spirit. Water is a sign of repentance. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free. So regardless of whatever human background, Jewish, Greeks, or employer or employee, whatever career, but the one Holy Spirit, all believers were baptized into one body of Christ. Have all been made to drink into one spirit. To drink is necessary to live. Spirit from Christ is necessary to live. So this is implies spiritual life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2-4. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Old Testament is the shadow of New Testament. All ate the same spiritual food. All Israel people who wandered in desert ate manna from God, from heaven. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. So the Moses strike the rock. The rock produced a lot of water. So Israel people were able to drink from rock. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Old Testament rock is a sign of Christ, the water coming up, the Holy Spirit come up. So that's why they were able to survive drinking water. So here is all have been to drink in one spirit. Christian need daily spiritual life. So, and also Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh or in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So have all been made to drink into one spirit. That means the spiritual life. Then verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many members, such as nose, eye, ear. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, so many members have different functions, and all members are necessary to work the body properly. So here, the foot should say, here, rhetorical question. So obviously not. Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. I do not belong to body. That's not true. Is it therefore not of the body? Therefore, the foot doesn't belong to the body? So no. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. So ear does not belong to body? No. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, that would be grotesque or unnatural. Where would be the hearing? Where is ears? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Where is the nose? So verse 18, but now God has set members. Churchy, as the body of Christ, has many members who have different functions, like our human body's members. Each one of them in the body, just as he pleased, just as God pleased. So whatever as God wants, not as recipients want, such as apostles in the early churches, or prophets, teachers, or the work of a miracle, healing, tongue, helpers, and so on. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So, obviously not. But now, indeed, or truly, there are many members, yet one body. So, this is one body of Christ. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head can say to the feet, I have no need of you. So which meaning every member is necessary to work the one body properly. Disciple Paul emphasized, don't fight each other. Edify one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify, build up one another, just as you also are doing. So edify. Verse 22. No much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker or to be feeble are necessary. Seemingly weaker members, such as toes, are necessary. If one little toe is stumped, the whole body is limping. All necessary members, there is no superiority among them. Every member are necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow, we give greater honor, and our unpresentable parts, or invisible parts, or uncommon parts, have greater modesty. For example, pancreas organ is an unpresentable or invisible organ, but is in great honor or greater modesty as the member to produce insulin against diabetes. For example, intercessory prayer members are unpresentable, invisible, but is in great honor or modesty, because without it, the body could not function properly. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need. So our common parts have no need of the greater modesty or honor, for the portion of the lack of presentability. The pancreas, for example, covered by bones, in the great honor, but lips don't need any cover in the great honor. But God composed the body. God made the all members together, the body, the one body, having given great honor to the part which lacks it. But God reverses to unpresentable, invisible parts, greater to invisible ministries, not disclosed intercessional prayers, or not disclosed the charity donors, helpers that will be given in secret from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So that's greater honor. Verse 25, that there should be no schism, or no contention, no dissensions. Fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19-20. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, right here, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, and dissension here. That is no schism. Because this is given by the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gift. So if you receive a spiritual gift as a member of the body of Christ, there is no fight, you know, each other among members. So no schism in the body. But the members should have the same care for one another. Mutual care with love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. For you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour one another, fight each other, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So mutually broken or collapsed. So love each other. If you love each other, so the old law is fulfilled in that love. Then is verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with toes. So one toe suffers the pain, so all body feel painful too. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So eye is good, you know, so all members together, you know, will rejoice too. Because of one body, neither is he interested in suffering, nor jealousy over honored one. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, 16, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Simply be humble. Don't be proud. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Then verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, or you are the body of believers, or the group of believers, and members individually. So here, you are the body of Christ. Here, the Corinthian church, the leader, Corinthian church is the body of Christ. And members individually. Individual member is a part of the body to one whole universal church on the earth, ultimately. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. In the body of Christ, God by himself decided, appointed these. First, apostles, second, prophets. Here, first meaning priority, simply in order, not superiority. For example, creation of man first, then women, Eve, second. That is a priority, not in superiority. In order to be witness to Christ, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the end of the earth. So that kind of here's priority in order. So apostle is a raised question sometimes by Christians or the members. Apostle simply means sent out person. That is a literal meaning. But in the New Testament, apostle is an officer appointed by originally Jesus Christ. Original Jesus' 12 disciples, For example, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he, or Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So Jesus, the original 12 disciples and apostles, purpose for preaching and healing from beginning, then and teaching before Jesus' ascension. So Jesus' ascension, Jesus gave the greatest commandment to his disciples. So you go to salvation, you know, make disciples and teaching. So Jesus appointed 12 apostles for the purpose, for the ministry of preaching to non-Christian and healing and the ill people, and later teaching. Then in the early church, Matthias replaced with Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, before the early church. Early church is after, as over Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come here, that's called as early church. So just before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming, so book of Acts chapter 1, verse 26, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. So that one is replaced. In the early church, the apostles' purpose for continual prayer and ministry of word. So that is the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4. That time is a widow. One is a Hebrew widow, the other one Greek widow. Greek widows had complaint against the apostles, because the apostles, all of them Jewish people, so therefore they gave a favor, you know, Hebrew widow rather than Greek. That's why is that time is apostles and Jerusalem church members is elected the deacons. That time is apostles said, book of Acts chapter 6 verse 4, we apostles will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that purpose, apostle responsibility. So minister of the word, you know, obvious teaching, then the preaching to non-Christian, or might include a second meaning of a prophecy. Prophecy, number one meaning, foretell the future thing. Second meaning, speak forth the word of God to particular situation. That kind also there is prophecy. So this kind of ministry main purpose. So in the early church, for two main purpose ministry, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he indicates that James is talking, Galatians chapter 1, verse 19 said, the disciple said, I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother, the Lord's half-brother, biological half-brother, mother same, but father different. So James' father, Joseph. So this is James. Also is Paul. Paul is Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Those are people not original 12 disciples appointed by Jesus Christ. Then James is coming out, and is Paul coming out. So then, in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 14. This is another Barnabas also, apostle. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, we know that Barnabas was sent out by Jerusalem church. Jerusalem church at that time headquarters of early church, the center to Antioch church to teach Antioch church members. That's the way is Barnabas. So therefore, we generally understand that apostles in the early church officer, the main purpose is for continual prayer, and there is ministry of the word, two main purpose, which meaning today we don't say apostle, but certain denomination, you know, has apostolic church kind thing. So that kind of view, that is just a literal general meaning. Apostle meaning simply a person sent out, obviously by God, you know, so in that kind of sense. Then is here, second prophets, third teachers, Sunday school teachers, just like that. After that, miracles, example, Peter walked on the water, that is a miracle. Then gifts of healing, so healing ill people, helpers also, the spirit gift, administration like officers, varieties of tongues. Tongue is raise a question. Tongue is simply mean ununderstandable word spoken to God. Ununderstandable, which means human being cannot understand because of no language. That's ununderstandable word spoken to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, to people, but to God. For no one understands him. No one understands him, the tongue speaker. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Because some the kingdom of God, we cannot describe with human word, human language at all. That kind of mystery. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, which means in order. Because our God is not of confusion, of order. First day, God made it. Second day, third day. Not like confusing way made it. Exactly in order. So in turn, in order. Let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So personal prayer is recommended right here. So then is verse 29, rhetorical question again. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of ministries or administration. Difference of ministries of administration, but the same Lord. But there are diversity of activities, operations, which mean way, method, many ways too. But it is the same God who works all in all. So verse 30, do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Verse 31, what it doesn't mean, but earnestly desire or covet the best gifts. The best gift depends upon what your gift is given by the Spirit to edify the body of Christ in most effective way. So that such as exhort or give away or help, you know, which one? So disciple described the Torah in 21, the variety of a gift. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 up to 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8 is described. So whatever gift is given by the Lord, so which gift is the most effectively way to build up the body of Christ or the church, you know, a local church, or extending to one universe church. That is the best gift. So it depends upon what kind of gift given by the Lord. That is the most effective way. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. Excellent way, next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, agape love. Agape love, a huge one. Agape love contains mercy, grace, kindness, joy, huge one, agape love. Agape love, the fruit of the Spirit. All law fulfilled in agape love. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love can describe joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Because in agape love, the all law in the Bible fulfilled. Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, Jesus said, on these two commandments, love God and love neighbor as yourself, hang all the law and the prophet, which meaning, in agape love, if you love God, love your neighbor as yourself, all law and the prophecy fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 up to 19, agape love size talks about that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints, all the Christians, which is what is the widest length, depth high. So widest length, depth high, the size you may understand. Our love, this size, huge one. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, and now abide faith, hope, love. These are three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is very important, because first of all, you know, in order to become born Christian, obviously you should have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then is the faith coming out in there, then is the Holy Spirit there. The Spirit, the fruit, is agape love. So there is a continually coming out. So agape love many different way, like joy, peace, long-suffering, kind, goodness, not puffing. So many ways is coming out. Therefore, you did something good thing, but that is a very minor thing compared to Christ's love. Christ's love like a universe, you know. Huge one. So we can understand here. Yet I show you a more excellent way. So if without agape love, you do something, you exercise a gift, such as working over miracle healing, all things would be useless, in vain. So agape love is crucial. Okay, let's see each question answer. Question 1 in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. What do you mean both by one spirit? We were all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one spirit. First the phrase, by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, mean all Christians are born again with water, a sign for repentance, and spirit were baptized. Second phrase means, by one spirit have all been made to drink into one spirit, then meaning spirit coming from Christ is necessary to live. So that implies a spiritual life. Then is a question to in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but then members should have the same care for one another. What does Paul want to explain? So church members should have no schism, no dissension. So simply don't fight each other, rather than take care for each other, love for one another. Question 3, in verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What does it mean? So here, the best gift depends upon what your gift is given by the Holy Spirit to build up the body of Christ in the most effective way. That's the best gift from you. And yet, I'll show you a more excellent way. Next chapter is agape love. In agape, through agape love, with agape love, you should exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's just sing song all together, the bulletin, the pages. Thirty-six.